they stay there, and they say yeah, and they say there.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with my boss, Mr. Scotty Reynolds.
What the hell was that?
You're Scotty. You're Scottish.
It's an awful accent.
You don't like that?
No.
Trevor?
No, I loved it.
See?
No, I love the accent.
So every time we refer to Scott today.
Do the whole
today,
show in that accent.
No,
though.
I can't. Every time we refer to Scott today, we have to say it like that. Scotty.
Bucks are 1-0 when you refer to Scott as Scotty.
As Scotty.
It's true.
Yeah. Right on, man.
Okay.
All right. So.
This is a thing.
Oh, yeah. And that's Trevor Sikkema, in case I didn't introduce that guy either. But you guys know that. Trevor Sikkema still depressed after Florida State captured a 6th straight win over his Florida Gators.
It's incredible that you brought this up.
I mean, wow. Let's get it out. Let's get it out. It happened.
All right.
Florida State goes 6 years in a row.
No.
No?
Didn't happen. You lost to Felipe Franks. How does it feel?
Trevor, that's called a stain. That is a stain.
Listen, almost as bad as him being your actual quarterback is losing to him.
Well, look. It has to happen. I mean, streaks have to end eventually.
Just like this one with the Buccaneers.
Like the Buccaneers, you know? Today.
Segway, fellas.
That's pretty good.
We saw a lot of streaks come to an end today. A lot of streaks.
We did. And we'll get to the positives, but I'll give it a little backhanded compliment, and this is to say that this is the first not Cleveland Browns team the Buccaneers have beat since early September. Take it away.
This is
good
true.
Point. This is a team that's probably worse than the Cleveland Browns.
And
yeah, they are.
It's the team that has the number one overall draft pick right now.
Yeah. But you know what? The good news is they didn't just beat this team 26-23 in overtime. I mean, they dominated this game really from start to finish.
Yes.
And that was something the Buccaneers just haven't really done this year at all.
And they did it up front, too, with the defensive line. I wrote a story about the Buccaneers newcomers getting sacks and helping the pass rush, and that's exactly what we saw. We saw old man McCoy get one, but we saw JPP get a sack.
Old man,
he and I call him old man. He's literally 15 years younger than Scott and I.
Yeah, but
and he's an old man.
He's been here for a couple minutes now, Gerald McCoy. But we saw Jason Pierre-Paul reach 10.5 sacks, exercising the demons, getting rid of the Simeon Rice curse that has plagued this team since Simeon got 14 sacks.
What else happened in this game?
Back
what
in 2005. Vita Vea got a sack.
Give
us that.
Who?
Vita Vea.
Who?
Not only did he get a sack, he had 3 tackles for loss.
Yes.
Defensive rookie of the year, people. Crown him.
We've been telling y'all for weeks.
Been saying it. Since April, I told you guys.
Weeks.
Watch out.
I said
Vita
the
Vea
moment
the
he
man.
Was drafted,
yep.
Pro Bowl.
That's right.
Instant. You might as well fill out the ballot.
Jerwin Dames who?
Yeah, exactly.
What a joke. All you FSU homers out there.
He got a pick today, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah, They're only in the second quarter in
he
that
got
game.
He got another one.
Yeah, he
still has
he's
more interceptions than Vita Vea does.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's
exactly.
That.
Yeah, so there that happened.
And listen, Carl Nassib also got a sack, too. Another newcomer.
The Wolf of Dale Mabry.
I like Carl Nasty. We're going to call him Carl Nasty rather than Carl Nassib. Because this guy's got 5.5 sacks now. He is a great bookend to Jason Pierre-Paul. Those guys are really complimenting each other.
He actually is.
And they're also opening up things for the guys in the interior.
And they're also opening up a restaurant together.
Yes, they are.
They are?
It's a Cuban restaurant.
Yeah, Cuban one.
Sure.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. It's news to me.
All right, they're
news.
Not doing that. I'm just
they're
kidding.
Not.
They're only opening up gaps for
their for Vita Vea.
That's true.
And for Gerald McCoy to get sacks.
They also, in this game, 2 interceptions.
Yes.
Was Who? Not sure if that was even legal.
Yes.
Jameis threw 2 interceptions is what you're saying?
No. Jameis
threw
0.
The defense got interceptions.
Wait. You're trying to tell me that Jameis Winston didn't throw any interceptions.
Yes.
And the Buccaneers had 2 interceptions?
Yes.
Oh.
Ryan Smith
we're supposed
got his
to believe
first
that?
Career pick. Mm-hmm. Ryan Smith and Isaiah Johnson.
Wait, Ryan Smith doesn't play on this football team.
Well, he does now.
He does. Yeah.
Mm. No,
so,
pretty
right.
sure they cut him weeks ago.
I want to actually get into this question because Mark or Scott, you were down.
Scotty,
for
you mean.
Sorry, you were down there for Jameis's interview at the podium. Mark and I were doing stories up in the press box, and we overheard. I believe it was Jenna who asked, kind of like, "Is this?" She was asking of Jameis Winston, kind of like, "Is this more of a?" Did it feel like more of a Jameis game, like to him, I guess, doing the right things, not turning the ball over? And Jameis said yes. Like, it felt like, you know, I was doing the right things. And Mark and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, listen, whether you like it or not, this is one of the most not Jameis games that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay. Throws for 300 yards. What do you have? 9 incompletions, rating over 100.
Yep.
What, how many touchdowns did he throw?
Two
touchdowns over 300 yards, no interceptions. Look, I don't care how you slice it. Maybe that's how you would like a vintage Jameis Winston game to be.
Yes.
But that is not what it's been to this point.
Correct.
And this is, but this is,
but it's how
to
it needs
that
to be.
Point. That's what it needs to be, okay?
Here's the deal. We can say it needs to be this way. This may not work against the New Orleans Saints.
Sure.
And I say that, okay, 312 yards sounds good, but check down City. You know what I mean?
He hit the 42-yarder to Mike early on, and that was about it, right? Did he connect on another one?
Well,
the Humphreys one doesn't really count because it was like against the grain. Humphreys is wide open.
And Humphreys made a nice play.
He had like
15
yards after the catch or something.
I mean, this was not. Look, it worked today, and I wrote that in the most impressive. It worked today. Will it work against the Saints, against the Falcons, at Dallas?
Against the Panthers
next week. I don't know.
We're gonna have to see. But you're right. There were two completions over 20 yards. The 28-yard touchdown to Humphreys and the 42-yard.
Okay, the one to Humphreys doesn't count.
Okay,
it doesn't count. You know what I mean?
I think it counts because. Because it was a risky throw for Jameis because he broke all the cardinal rules in that play. Rolling to his right, throwing across his body, and to the middle of the field. Okay, the problem with that is that usually ends up in interceptions unless Adam Humphries is wide open, which he was. So that was the correct read, the correct throw, and that was Jameis making plays. But the thing Jameis has to learn is you're going to have about three or four of those opportunities a game, and if you hit on all those and play turnover free, you give yourself a chance to win. I think where Jameis has gotten into problems is he has tried to manufacture six or seven of those plays a game, and maybe he hits on three or four, but he ends up getting three interceptions.
But here's the deal.
To cancel those big plays out.
This formula works one way if the defense gives up 9 points. I mean, if the defense plays great.
I mean,
and gets a couple turnovers. Yes, this formula can work.
Yeah,
but there are going to be games when the defense is letting like we saw against the Giants last week, where they're just marching up and down the field, where Jameis Winston is going to have to take more shots, be more aggressive in the passing game.
Yeah,
and I think the play calling would have to be more aggressive.
And it's a catch-22, right? Because I was about to say. This what we saw against the 49ers of Jameis Winston is what you want like the base to be, right? You want Jameis to go into the game almost kind of playing this game, but at the same time I'm thinking in my head, you know, I've also like complained and said they don't start fast enough. So maybe that's not even a case. Maybe he's just gotta be more efficient at throwing the ball down the field at any point in the game. Now, you don't want him to turn it over. You like this recipe he's got here, but I think that Mark is right. Not to nitpick, not to look at a positive and just turn it into a negative, but he is going to have to be better at some point. Like this, so I think a better way to say it is that this game has to have been a stepping stone for him.
Well, yeah, and I think this game has to be the default. I think that this is your baseline default Jameis Winston because you can win this way. Is it going to be enough to win a shootout game with New Orleans and Drew Brees or even Carolina and Cam Newton? We'll have to see. But I will say this. Two or three interceptions from Jameis Winston will automatically lose you those games.
Yeah.
Not if your defense is getting tuned like they got today. Then it's back in the even draw, and then you have an opportunity. Just like we saw at New Orleans in week one, where the Buccaneers were able to make a couple turnovers. They won that game in a shootout 48-40. You're right. If Jameis Winston has two interceptions and the defense doesn't get any, they're not going to win any football games against these opponents they have upcoming.
Yeah, and if you go back and look at the Falcons game this year, he had four touchdowns, had a really explosive game in terms of big plays, over 300 yards. Actually, I think he had close to 400 yards in that game, but he had two interceptions.
Yeah.
And you can see with those takeaways – will do for the Buccaneer defense and what those turnovers on the offensive side do, they just lose games for this team.
Right.
Very interested to see just what the future holds over the next few games for them, especially the next two because they are at home.
Yeah.
They are division games. They're against the Panthers and the Saints.
They're against really good teams. This was an awful 49ers.
Yeah. Right, the 49ers.
This was an
but that's what I'm saying
team.
Because here's the thing, though. We have been saying throughout the entire year that this is a talented Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, okay? They have talent on this team. They've just had no idea truly how to use it, okay?
Right.
Now, for the first time all season, I mean, the Cleveland game didn't even count because they should have lost that game like eight times. And you talk to players after the game, and they all kind of said, you know, hey, it's great to get the win, but at the same time, Catanzaro missed
like
the field
yeah.
goals
yeah.
and right. everything, and it's So that wasn't even a thing. This one is truly a, like Mark said at the beginning of the podcast, they went out and they beat a team they were supposed to beat. And right. they beat them
soundly.
And yes. yep. this was never in doubt. At no point was this game ever in doubt. They did what they were supposed to do. And on top of that, they got defensive line production.
Yes.
They got turnovers in the secondary. Mm-hmm. They threw the ball well enough to win. They even, I think, you know, as Dirk probably liked, they ran the ball enough to control the game.
Right.
So, and I said this when I tweeted out the recap of the game. This was literally everything that you would have wanted to see in a Bucs win. It truly was.
Yeah.
Where do they go from here is the question. Do they immediately, does Carolina come out, punch them in the mouth, score a couple touchdowns, they go back to their old Buccaneers?
I would not be shocked if that happens.
Or is this different?
I wouldn't be shocked
if that happens.
I would be shocked because it's going to be another home game. And look, the Buccaneers,
they play better,
play well at home.
I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And it was 17-point difference coming into this game. Road points given up versus home game points given up.
18.
It's going down. Even, I mean, it's going to be even more now after only giving up 9 today.
Yeah, I hear you, but the Buccaneers did get a little banged up. We saw Jason Pierre-Paul miss some time. He did come back in the fourth quarter, but he's really banged up.
He was hurting coming into this game.
And then DeMar Dotson was really hobbling.
Carlton Davis.
In the locker room. Carlton Davis was really hobbling, and I went up to Carlton in the locker room, and I said, it's not one of your better days in terms of your health. He's like, no, not at all. And he had a noticeable limp. So, I mean, I'm no doctor, but
we know that.
I would not be surprised if he's not in this game coming up here. And so that means, you know, this secondary has taken
good,
so many hits.
Good. Ryan Smith gets to play. It's a shame that a guy who played well in week two doesn't really see the field a whole lot again.
That Carlton Davis
I don't mean good. What I'm saying is the Bucs are forced to play a guy who probably should have been on the field more. You're talking about an inexperienced secondary, and you've got a guy who
not that
Ryan Smith is some veteran guy, but he is a guy who's played some NFL football.
I hear you. But listen, you've already lost Chris Conte. You've already lost Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah. And I don't mean good. I like Carlton Davis.
Feel the same way kind of about DeMar Dotson. Not good that DeMar Dotson is hurt. I never want to say that, especially for a guy as good as DeMar is.
Right.
But now they get to see what they have in Leonard Wester, right? Yeah. I mean, this season isn't going anywhere. At least I still don't think it is.
I don't know.
They beat the team with the number one overall draft pick today, okay? I don't want to get carried away with myself. Yeah. And so this season's not going anywhere. So, look, man, I never want a guy to get hurt. I'm not trying to say that. But blessing in disguise, whatever you want to call it, Leonard Wester now gets to play right tackle.
You know what else is not going anywhere? That pirate ship over there in the end zone that we're staring at right now. You know why?
Why?
It's got a hole from a cannonball in the side of it.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
It won't float.
It's taken on some damage this year. There's no doubt about it.
Somebody
asked me, does the ship have a name at halftime? And I said, now it's the Santos ship.
That's right.
Or give it one more good game, and it'll be the Santos ship in Santos Stadium.
I'm going to email Brian Ford and tell him if he wants to get that boat seaworthy again, he needs to take it over to T.A. Mahoney's.
He does.
Because T.A. Mahoney's can get that boat back in the water. If your boat has been vandalized and shot up by cannonballs in a pirate fight, take it to T.A. Mahoney's. They can fix it.
That's true.
Where's T.A. Mahoney's located?
T.A. Mahoney's, they're located at 50th Street in Atomo in Tampa. They've been around since 1948. Why do you ask, Scott?
Well, because if I had enough money, I would buy a boat
mm-hmm.
and a trailer to go with it. But knowing my luck, the trailer would break down, and I'd have to take it to T.A. Mahoney's.
This guy has a pond in front of his house.
True.
He's got a lake behind his house.
Yep.
He doesn't fish. I mean,
saltwater, baby.
Okay. He lives an hour from the saltwater. He doesn't fish. We got to get you over to T.A. Mahoney's, Scott. They can equip you. Even if you don't have a boat, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go for everything you need to get into the fishing business. Not business, just for fun, pleasure, or if you're a charter captain, go to T.A. Mahoney's, 50th and Atomo. Also, check them out online at tamahoney.com. That's tamahoney.com, a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Thank God they turned that lawnmower off out there. Hope you I spoke too soon. Oh, boy. Anyway, I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background of the podcast. That's not a bad connection. That is the field crew out there because we're sitting in the press box right now in an open air section. Taking a look at this field, and
what did we think of Dirk Cutter's press conference afterwards? Scott, you were there.
Wait. Look, can I ask you this because I'll forget?
Sure.
People always say, "Why do you interrupt, Mark?" It's not because I'm being an a-hole. It's because I'm old.
Yeah.
And I will literally forget if I'm I don't jump in right then.
All right.
Did anybody ask if he called the plays today?
No.
Do we think he called the plays today?
No, I really do think it's Monken.
Yeah.
I still think it's Monken.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
What was the question?
Yeah.
What did we think? Yeah, go ahead.
Of Dirk Cutter's press conference? He was very happy today because
What'd you think?
He got to talk about takeaways. He got to talk about Vita Vea, who, interestingly enough, got a talking to from Jason Light.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I asked Vita about it after Dirk's press conference.
Yeah.
He confirmed that he and Jason had a conversation, but that's going to remain confidential, what was said.
What do we think was said?
Hey, pal.
No, I don't think it was said. I think it was, get off your effing blocks and make some effing plays.
You're making me look like a jackass here, guys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Cook is relentless with this Derwin James crap. This is the attitude thing, right?
I've watched teams across the NFL when we have games home or away, whatever it is. I'll go home and I'll watch some of the highlights and I'll watch. It doesn't matter. The Packers, the Seahawks, the Chiefs, I don't care. And these defensive lines, the second the ball is snapped, they are just
attacking,
going. Yeah. They are like wild animals going after this quarterback.
Yep.
And I have not seen this in Tampa Bay in so long.
It's so funny that mentioned that because on Vita Vea's sack down there by the goal line, Jason Pierre-Paul said that to him. He looked at him. He says, just go. Just go.
Just go.
And that's what he did.
Right?
And he made the sack.
I pointed out last week, I think it was last week, lose track of time. This is the middle of the season.
Somebody else is getting old.
Yeah, 100%. I pointed out some of the things that Vita Vea has done this year. I think I re-looked at one of the games he had, and it's been disappointing because you can watch a man like Vita Vea, and you can see why he was alluring as a prospect.
Yeah.
Because he will push
any
size and put him on skates. He will. But you know what he does after that? At least before this game?
Fall down?
Nothing. Nothing. He doesn't know what to do. He just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And after a couple of these tackles for loss, mm-hmm. Vita got up and he like flexed his muscles.
I love it.
That's the attitude.
Yep.
Go get him.
Yeah. Now, here's one thing we have to remember, and I've said this before, it bears repeating. This is Vita Vea's fourth year playing defensive tackle. He was a running back in high school. He was at the University of Washington for 3 years. This is his fourth season playing defensive tackle. Okay?
We can tell.
My son Logan Reynolds has played defensive tackle longer than Vita Vea has. Okay? From age 5 to age 11.
Can he rush with him?
Well, he's not eligible.
Should have drafted him.
He's more of a run stuffer. He's not a pass rusher.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying. But there's something to be said for that. Okay? There's defensive tackles like Deron Payne from Alabama coming out for the Redskins. I'm going to hazard a guess he probably played defensive tackle in high school.
Yeah.
He's probably played 4 more years of defensive tackle than Vita Vea, who was his draft counterpart.
Yeah, probably.
So I think there's something to be said there. The other thing is, and I have not talked to Jason Light, I'm not tattling on anybody or anything, but I will say this. If I had to guess what Jason Light said to Vita Vea, it was, don't necessarily listen to what Brenton Buckner's telling you. Go play football.
Yeah.
That's what I think was said to Vita Vea.
I don't even know if it's like 100% like that. Maybe like that, because that almost sounds like Buckner steering him in the wrong direction. And maybe he's not, because I don't know.
No comment.
But I will say.
No comment.
Well, I will say.
No
that
comment.
I know,
literally.
Listen, I know that we have talked about it, but.
In the wrong direction.
Okay, you're saying, like, just go, right? Like, that whole thing. I remember specifically during minicamp that when I stood next to Brenton Buckner talking to the line.
You were assistant coach?
The thing was, no, it was like 5 feet away from him because they were closer to.
You were standing right next to him.
All right, you know, I was next to him in spirit.
Okay.
All right? Just get in the, you know.
Go Noles.
Wow. All right. I didn't. All right, take it back. And he literally said to these guys, just go get them. And so I wonder what happened that has been different. Because
I remember in the offseason.
Has not been what the defensive line is doing.
At the rookie minicamp.
And I remember during
the minicamp,
he told them, stop doing the games.
Why are you going that way? This is where the running back is.
Yes.
He's talking about the running back. Go there. Point A to point B.
So that's why this is so shocking to me. Not that I'm saying one way or the other. Obviously, we've had talks and we know things different.
So,
but why?
Here's some inside information. There was a difference in the OTAs from what happened there to what happened in training camp in the regular season, and that was Mike Smith's influence, which was especially for the defensive tackles to almost play, because they're playing a 4-3 under scheme, a 4-3 over scheme, to almost play a two gap style to control the man and let the linebackers make the plays.
Puke.
That's what this defense is designed
Puke.
To do. And Trevor, listen, that works if your linebackers are Quan Alexander and Levante David. It doesn't work sometimes when your linebackers are Adarius Riley Bulla, Adarius Taylor, and Devontae Bond.
Okay, but here's
the
thing.
It's horrible. It's horrific when that's what happens.
Okay, but here's the thing. It didn't work when it was Levante David and Quan Alexander.
It worked a hell of a lot better than it worked
but like
when
it,
it's working
like
right
that
now.
Strategy is terrible. Why would you base your pressure off of the guys that are farther away from the ball? That doesn't make any
Who's
sense.
Who's the defensive coordinator?
Well, now it's Mark Duffner.
Okay. There's a reason why Mike Smith was gone. The scheme didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think Mark Duffner, listen, it is so hard to come on board mid-season as a
I'm not blaming I don't blame Mark Duffner for literally any of this season.
Yes.
It's not his fault.
It's not
at
his
all.
Fault.
I'm saying from Mike Smith's point of view, like even if you look at your team and you go, "All right, the strength of our team is clearly in our linebackers." The next draft or free agent you see you should have is be like, hey, we should probably get a guy who's the strength of, and it's on the defensive line.
Yeah.
They're closer to the ball.
Of course.
This isn't like, it's like a center in basketball. The easiest thing to do, if you can, is get the ball to the center. Why? Because he's 4 feet away from the basket.
But listen,
he just lays it in. There's
a reason why the Buccaneers have gotten the players that they've gotten, because this is the style of defense that Mike Smith wants to run. It's why Chris Baker was here. It's why Bo Allen was here. It's why they drafted Vita Vea and they added Mitch Unrein and they got Vinnie Curry, because Mike Smith wanted big guys up front that would occupy blockers to allow the linebackers to flow and make plays.
That's dumb.
It is dumb, Trevor. You're right. It's dumb. And that's why Mike Smith is no longer here. And they should have fired him before the season started,
still cashing that check, though.
Okay. But I think what you're seeing now is you're seeing the directive change to where the defensive linemen, they've got to make more plays because they're the only guys that can. You can't expect Riley Bulla to make plays or Devontae Bond or Darius Taylor because they haven't. They're not playmakers.
Okay, so
the guys that are playmakers are the Carl Nassibs, the Jason Pierre-Pauls, the Gerald McCoys up front.
So then how much of a pass do you give Dirk Koetter?
What do you mean? You don't give him any pass. He's the one that hired Mike Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
going to pay for his sins at the end of the year.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, how much is the defense do you think is his sins? Because a lot of people have said, okay, sure, he hired Mike Smith. I get it. But you can't just, like.
But here's the deal. Trevor watches game film of his defense, too.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to realize this is not working.
Right.
And waiting until year three, halfway through it.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I'm not like trying to disagree with you, but
that's
like you're
as egregious as anything.
The way that Scott
when you want to put Dirk Koetter on trial here.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that George Warhop is still in charge of this offensive line is damning.
Amen.
To a guy like Dirk Koetter. I mean, it just is. I mean, he's just. I mean.
Don't get me wrong. I don't disagree with you. It just kind of sounded like this has all been Mike Smith's fault. So, like,
Dirk Koetter could
basically be like, look, if you give me a competent defense, we're 7-3. So,
if I'm the Glazers, and he says that, I'm saying, well, you could have had a competent defense.
Yes.
You could have fired him before the season.
Yeah.
Or you know what? They re-signed this guy a year before that to be the highest paid coordinator. Maybe they said, tough crap. You know, we're not going to fire the guy. You need to make it work.
Yeah.
I don't know. But,
right.
I mean.
But listen, ultimately, Dirk's the head coach.
Yep.
He's responsible for all this. And we can't let Jason Light off the hook either. Jason Light has the authority. Ultimately, it's his team. He's the one that okays all of the coaches. Dirk can hire him. It's his staff. But Jason gets an okay. He gets to sign off on those things, too. And ultimately, Jason's the one that signs the players.
God, why
so,
would you two-gap your linemen?
I'm not saying that. That
you just don't get
it. It's not like an official two
right.
gap, but that's how
I know.
Playing.
But I know exactly what you're saying because I watch it happen all the time.
Yeah.
And I also watch McCoy like go rogue and try to like loop his guy away, and then all of a sudden the middle of the field is
wide
open. You know what I'm saying? So like at that point, I don't even know who's wrong. Is it the scheme or who am I going to be? Who would I be more mad at, the scheme or McCoy for going rogue?
You mentioned Gerald McCoy, and I'll say this. Because he is not a great redirect guy, he is an upfield one-gap guy. And if Gerald gets a clean look and he shoots upfield and the quarterback sidesteps him, Gerald's not going to redirect like a Warren Sapp would and get the sack. He's right. Not Aaron Donald. He's not anywhere close to that. But the thing is, though, is I think Gerald McCoy, when you look back at his career, has really been underutilized. He has not been in schemes that have really utilized him, which he is a one-gap, 4-3 penetrating defensive tackle.
Yes.
And there's so many years, so many schemes this guy's had where he has not been asked to do that.
Warren Sapp would not have been Warren Sapp with the coaches that Gerald McCoy has had and the scheme that he's played
Agreed.
Under. He still would have been a great player. Still would have been better than Gerald McCoy because he is better than Gerald McCoy.
Yeah.
But he would not be a first ballot Hall of Famer under Jay Hayes.
That's right.
You know, under some of the things that he's been asked to do since 2010 when he was drafted. Anyway, and I'll bet you on that, Scott. I'll just bet you right now.
You can.
I'll bet you.
You know what? Go to mybookie.ag, Mark, and throw the bet down.
That's a good idea.
Throw it down.
I'm going to. I told you I should have bet on the Buccaneers for this game because I was the only one of the three that thought they were going to win. Now, if I had decided to put some money on it, Scott, you just mentioned mybookie.ag, different than mycookie.ag, which is out of business now. Talk a little bit about mybookie.ag and why it is the best place for Buccaneer fans to go if they're interested in wagering.
They get the fastest payouts in the business. They're the most reliable. They've been a sponsor for the Pewter Nation podcast for years now. It's where I go when I want to do my sports wagering online. And I haven't done any in a couple of weeks because I really kind of been
scared.
Quitter. Yes. What?
Nothing. Said keep going.
No, scared. Yes.
Quitter.
Yes. agree to that too. Okay. Yeah. But I'm going to get back on it. I'm feeling a little bit more confident now. I've done a couple of bets in my head and said, I think if I would go down and put money on this, and then all of a sudden it happens.
You could put money on Kansas State's bowl game.
Next year. You mean the 2019 bowl game that they might be
sorry.
In next year?
You could put money on Florida State's bowl game.
I was going
to
say, if you were smart, you would have taken the points in the Gators. But no.
You're talking about the K-State versus Florida State
bowl.
Poland Wheat Eater Bowl.
Why can't they just go play somewhere on a neutral field just for the heck of it? Who says they can't?
Yeah. We could be honorary coaches.
They probably can.
You for
the five-win bowl.
Listen, I think you would do a better job with the Seminoles. I would do a better job with the Wildcats right
fact.
Now. I'm just telling you.
I know that's a fact. I bet you.
Listen, do all your betting at mybookie.ag. The best part about it is if you mention the promo code Pewter when you sign up for your initial deposit, they're going to double it. So
up to $1 million?
Not that much. But if you put in $250, boom, you got $500 to play
Say
with.
What?
Yes.
What?
So NFL action is hot right now. NHL, NBA, college football winding down right now. But there's still some amazing conference championship games on the schedule for next week. So make today the day. If you haven't done it yet, sign up. And put your initial deposit in, mention Pewter as the promo code, and they're going to double your initial deposit at mybookie.ag.
All right, guys. Buccaneers now 4-7. They just need five more wins to get into playoff contention.
To miss out on the playoffs.
Yeah. To miss out on the playoffs and have the 21st overall draft pick and end up with an average football player. They can find somebody at 21. Okay, good question here, Trevor. We were talking, I think, was it even last podcast when we talked about the Buccaneers tanking to secure Jameis Winston? If you're a Buccaneer fan, what do you want to see the rest of the year? I kind of know what you want to see because you've already been saying it. They need to lose so they get a better draft pick because they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't want to ever tell somebody how to be a fan, but there's obviously two roads you can go down here. You can either be rooting for them to win, which – I've asked people about this. A couple of my buddies who I park by for home games and I talk to them at their tailgate, I asked them about it. I was like, "Do you guys don't seem to have a lot of faith in the team or Cutter. Do you guys want them to win or lose?" And he was like, "You know what? When we come to home games, when I pay for the tickets."
Yes, they want to see a win.
He's like, "I want to see a
no
win.
Doubt
I'm,
about
I'm
it.
Here to see the team win."
Right.
And it's like, okay, I definitely get that. But then – on the other side of the coin, I like I said, I tweeted out, I posted the game recap article, and I said, this is everything you wanted to see in a Bucks win.
Yeah.
And there were five or six people that responded to that tweet and said, all this is a giant waste. Both of those things are true, but that's what you have to decide as a fan. And I don't know if I don't really want to tell somebody how they could do it, but it is the two realities that you can root for.
All right, so right now they've got their fourth win of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to end up, Trevor? How many more wins do you think that they're going to get?
Well, let's think. Okay. Do we think they beat the Panthers?
No.
No.
Do we think they beat the Saints?
No.
Yeah.
Do you
think
The Buccaneers own the Saints.
Why? They've already done
did
it.
You not see week
they've
one?
They've won the last two.
Do you think they beat the Cowboys in Dallas?
No.
I think that's a chance.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that's
do
a
you
chance.
Think they
that
beat
might be their best
the Ravens in Baltimore?
No.
Do you think they beat the Saints at home?
You already
or,
said
sorry,
that.
The Falcons at home.
I think there's a chance
that's
they beat
a chance
the
there. So there's two possibilities.
Okay, let's yeah. just say they go 5-11. If this team goes 5-11, I think they're picking somewhere between 9-12. That's what I would think.
I would like the Panthers. I'd like the chances better for the Panthers game if Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley get hurt again in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you mean
and
the
then
Falcons,
if,
game?
Falcons game?
Yeah, in that game. And then if Julio Jones doesn't play.
And Matt
okay,
Ryan
so
has
you
poisoning.
Say you're saying yeah. that if they have no receivers, you like your chances.
And the quarterback's hurt.
Yes. Then I like the Buccaneers.
You know, I that's why he's a betting man.
Yeah.
I would also
well, I mean,
him.
Look at this. The 49ers didn't have Marquise Goodwin
yeah.
or Pierre Garçon
yeah.
or
yeah.
Reuben Foster
yeah.
today.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, you
yeah.
know. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think that like a 5-11 season probably gets them anywhere from like probably like 9-15, but I would say like 9-12 is probably the area that they could. And somebody asked me too, what are your top draft needs for this Buccaneers team? I would say right now it's corner or offensive line, whichever one is there. And
yeah.
I don't think offensive line is going to be a pick because Jonah Williams is about the only one from Alabama
yep.
who I would say is necessarily worthy. And there are even NFL people who are saying, oh, he might be a better guard. I think he's got fine tackle at tape or tape at tackle. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not really bothered by that. But like if Jonah's not there, you're not. There's not really any other tackles to reach for in this class. Now, for corner, there's a couple of different guys. I think everybody's. I think all the Bucs fans who follow the draft or college football, Greedy Williams from LSU is
mm-hmm.
probably on their wish list because if you pick a guy like Greedy Williams, next year you can start Carlton on one side, Greedy on the other, and you can play true man coverage.
Yeah.
Like you can truly play cover three,
yeah.
single high.
And Hargraves
in
the slot.
Right. And that's honestly, that's a young group.
Yeah.
That group will need time. But even if you pair them with, say, Justin Evans, Jordan Whitehead, or maybe you're drafting another safety, maybe
I would like to see this team go out in free agency. And I mean, if the Giants don't franchise
Landon Collins,
go get him. Like, go,
a,
go,
a,
go
I
get
don't
him.
Think they're going to franchise a guy that was on the trading block.
But I mean,
a secondary
if it's $12 million a year for Landon Collins, go get him.
If a secondary of Greedy, Carlton, Vernon, Justin Evans, and Landon Collins is good. There is potential there, serious potential.
Did you just
there.
Say Chris Conte?
No, not out loud. I was thinking it in my head.
No, is he still on the
I
team?
I think you said Chris Conte.
No, I didn't.
Is he still on the
I
team?
I think I saw you mouth.
No, no.
And
all right,
heard
let's,
you
let's
say
rewind it.
Chris, hold on.
What,
hold
secondary
on.
Of
Chris
who?
Conte.
Go ahead. Give me the list again.
Okay. Greedy Williams,
mm-hmm.
Carlton Davis, Vernon Hargraves, Justin Evans, Landon Collins.
Chris Conte.
He said it again.
I guess I
you
did.
You said it again.
You're right. I can't help
so
myself.
So it's funny because Chris Conte tweeted this weekend. He tweeted during the LSU-A&M game. I don't
yeah.
know if you guys watched that. That's the one that ended 74-72. It was
yeah,
unbelievable.
We watched it.
But
Chuck Fembo. Go ahead.
Chris Conte tweeted. He tweeted during the game something like, wow, that was a bullshit call on LSU. And I went, is that the first tweet he's had since he got hurt? And I went back and I looked. It is. It was the first tweet he had since he said the night after he got stiff-armed
yeah.
in the Steelers. And it's a Monday night game. And
yeah.
he goes, boy, I sure hope somebody gets stiff-armed tonight.
Yeah.
That was the first tweet. So
he just followed us on Twitter randomly.
Chris
Conte's like a week
back.
Ago.
White,
really?
White Unicorn 23.
Yes. White Unicorn 23.
Shout out, Chris. He's a good guy.
What's up,
he's
Chris?
He's a good guy. Yeah.
He is. Not better than Landon Collins at safety. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. I would not be.
But that would probably be a top of the wish yeah. list, especially if the Bucs are picking in that top 15 area
yeah.
right there.
I would not be opposed to the Buccaneers re-signing Chris Conte as a depth safety, as a guy in special teams. And if something happens to Landon Collins or Justin Evans, if he's the guy, an experienced
Whitehead,
guy coming off the bench.
Or Isaiah Johnson.
Yeah. yeah
or even
I would,
Ryan Smith, who's
yes.
emergency safety. Then you
yes.
put Chris Conte in.
Yeah. I don't want Chris Conte as a starter necessarily at this point. If I could have Landon Collins and Justin Evans
right.
as my guys, but yeah, I think he's athletic and I tell you what, I think you said this too, Mark, the other day that believe it or not, Buccaneer fans they may not recognize it, they may not realize it, but they do miss Chris Conte.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would be making more plays in the
yeah.
secondary right
yeah.
now.
But, and
so,
I mean, listen,
so would a guy that I don't really want to mention his name, but Teeth Candy. Would probably be a pretty good
teeth?
Guy.
Teeth would certainly help out.
Teeth candy. Yeah, he, you know, not to bring up old wounds, that's why I'm not really using his real name, but I think people might be able to figure it out. Teeth candy could have helped the football team.
No, but think
too.
About it.
Yeah.
This team has been somewhat unlucky. They certainly haven't executed the way that they have needed to. There's a reason why they've had hype over the last 2 years for the roster that they have. Think about this defense next year if everybody comes back fully healthy, okay? Up front, you have... All right, in theory, I'm going to say that they still have Gerald McCoy on the team, even though his contract is high and he's right. susceptible to possibly being moved. You got Vita Vea, who we just saw could be on track to actually becoming somebody who has a decent impact. Okay?
Right. Vita
Vea and McCoy in the middle.
Yep.
Vinny Curry, Carl Nassib, and Jace Pierre-Paul on the outside, however yep. you want to rotate that in. The three linebackers are Levante David, Quan Alexander, Kendall Beckwith.
Yeah.
And then their secondary is Greedy, Vernon, Carlton, Justin Evans and Landon Collins. If yeah. you gave me that defense,
yeah.
that defense 100% is good enough for that offense to win games.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that gets you 4 to 5 more wins.
Yes.
Like if yes. you end up with 4 or 5 wins this season,
yes.
then you're looking at 9
this
or 10 wins
next
year.
Yeah, this could have been a 10-win team.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's hope, Buccaneer
right,
fans. There is hope.
It is. There's a lot of anger in this season because of how poorly it went with how talented the roster is. But that also means that depending on what happens, I don't know who they're going to get rid of here and there, maybe who the new head coach is going to be if they're going to get a new head coach.
Willie Taggart.
Don't sit there and farm Willie Taggart off
to the
Buccaneers.
I was trying to get him out of Tallahassee at this point.
I know.
I mean, Jesus. Is Jim McElwain available?
Oh, and Cairo Santo, greatest kicker of all time.
In Tampa Bay history, yeah.
Yeah.
Santo.
That's what I said. But Cairo Santo.
It's Santo's Claws.
Sorry.
Santo's Claws.
You didn't add the S on it.
Sorry.
No, Santo's Claws is delivering early presents right now.
Somebody said, I was just making a joke during halftime. I said, somebody was like, oh, what's Santos's nickname? And I just randomly said, like, oh, Santos is actually Spanish for the curse is broken. Just making a joke. But a bunch of people responded and were like, dude, he's Brazilian. And so I just quote tweeted that, and I was like, a million, Brazilian, a trillion, I don't care. Just sign him however much money he wants.
Yeah,
so.
No, he's Santos Claws.
He is
delivering presents for the good boys and girls.
Santos Claws.
With extra
That's
points.
Good. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Extra points and field goals.
But is Brazilian different than Spanish?
Yeah, they're Portuguese.
Yeah.
But they speak?
Portuguese.
In Brazil?
Yes. Yeah. Everywhere else
like
is Spanish.
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, I don't leave Hillsborough County too often.
Sao Paulo.
I don't read that much, apparently. Stick in my home.
Yeah, okay.
I can read pretty good.
Not affecting the language barrier.
Mark Cook, I can read pretty good.
I can read pretty good. I'll tell you what, I can read pretty good. That dadgum menu at Ford's Garage that I'm going to be hitting up here in about an hour and a half.
What
are
you getting tonight?
You know, I'm dying for salmon. I went to the grocery store last night because I wanted some salmon. And I looked, and it's, you know, some of that farm raised over there in Asia or somewhere. And I was like, I don't know that I want that. So I'm going to go to Ford's Garage because I love their salmon. And you know what? This is honest to God truth. You're walking around the grocery store. I'm thinking to myself, I pick up a salmon, $11.99, $12.99 a pound. By the time I buy a piece, I go home, I cook it, I get the vegetables, I get the fixings, all the other stuff I have to have. I'm going to spend $25, right?
Yep.
Well, I can go to Ford's Garage for less than that. I can have them cook it. I'm not cleaning any dishes.
That's right.
They have curbside service now, by the way. You call ahead. They'll bring it out to your car.
You just eat it in your car. You don't even have to talk to anybody the rest of the time.
No, you don't have to.
If you were a millennial like me and don't like talking to other human beings, you could just have them bring it out to your car. Right, yeah.
I mean, you can continue to Snapchat the waitress afterwards after she brings it out, 100%. So you don't have to physically talk to her.
100%.
Ford's Garage, tremendous food, burgers, beers. Happy hour from 11 to 7. Proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. New location open in Orlando. If you're in Polk County, they've got one in
right
Lakeland.
At the outlet malls.
Wesley Chapel, yep. Brandon, where I'll be later tonight. Come see us. Come hang out at Ford's Garage. Make sure to let them know that you appreciate them.
You know what
I'd
love
Nation.
To see? I'd love to see on our Twitter feed people. And we just had a gentleman that came over from Europe, from England.
From Portugal. Portuguese. He came from Portuguese.
I don't think maybe the wrong
guy. He was
a
Spanish guy. I'm from Brazil.
Was he?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I forget the guy's name. My apologies. But he wanted to place some bets at mycookie.ag, but it's out of business. Mm-hmm. But he did swing by Ford's Garage.
Yes.
Per the Pewter Nation podcast, had a great meal, tweeted it out. So we'd love to see that.
Mark Fisher, Red Fish on our boards.
Yeah.
He came down from North Carolina for the Redskins game.
and actually stopped at the Lakeland location on the way back to Orlando.
Very cool.
On the way back to the airport to fly back home and had a great meal and tweeted that out. So we appreciate all of our listeners who do. When they do go to Ford's Garage, make sure you take a photo. Be a millennial like Trevor.
Yeah.
Take a photo. Put it all over your social media because, you know what? Did you really eat a meal if you don't take a picture of it, Trevor?
Nope.
Because apparently
didn't
you
happen.
Well, you did, but nobody cares about it.
Well, that's true. All right. Well, guys, this has been another wonderful episode of a Pewter Nation podcast.
Victory Podcast.
Victory Podcast, yeah. Which means Victory Monday.
I'm not going to work.
I want to remind people that we're going to be doing a charity bowling event. We'll have some details coming up on that, but it's going to be in the next couple weeks over at Pin Chasers on Armenia. We're going to be raising some money for a paralyzed football player, a teammate of my son's. We've got some of the Buccaneer offensive linemen. They're going to come out for that. That's going to be on a Friday night, but we'll get all the details up. You can just follow pewterreport.com. It'll be up this week. We're still doing our bowling league. It's too late to join the bowling teams, but you know what? Come out to Pin Chasers. You can bowl. There's lanes available. Come out tomorrow night. You know, meet some of the Buccaneer players that have
a
team.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful place, great family atmosphere, and we're going to be doing that on Monday night. We've got a few more weeks of that bowling league left as well. What else is coming up this week? Trevor's going to have a cover three. Monday, we're going to have the Monday mailbag.
Yep, I got a big SR's Fab Five coming up Friday.
Well, you should, since you didn't do one.
B-I-G-B.
Since you didn't do one last week, it ought to be 20,000 words.
It's not going to be long per se, but it's going to be big. I get some big revelations in there. Impactful. I like that.
I would have liked to have read them last Friday.
Black Friday, man. Do some shopping.
Nobody really goes out anymore, Scott. This is not 1999.
Have you not seen the videos?
Everyone does it
online.
Come on. There was like three of them. Nobody goes out. It used to be that the news channels would fly the helicopters over the mall at 5 a.m. So I noticed last week they didn't do that anymore. Yep. Anyway, Cyber Monday is Monday. I don't know what that means. Go online and buy a Pewter Report subscription.
It means your computer can get a
We don't have those anymore?
No, it's all free.
Oh. What about an insider so they can read your fab? How much does that cost?
It's free.
What?
No charge.
What about to see all of our great video content? That's cost a little bit, right?
No, it's actually free.
Hmm.
All of the content at PewterReport.com
I think I'm
going to
start charging for
free.
My Monday mailbag so I can make a little money on the side.
Yeah, you should do that.
Little pay
behind a little pay behind a paywall.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, for Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, all the Buccaneer fans, all the players who are celebrating a huge win over a formerly undefeated San Francisco 49ers team, I'm Mark Cook saying we will see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.